There's that great monk and contemplative thinker and writer, Thomas Merton, who once wrote, "Every moment of every event of every man's life on earth plants something in his soul." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we open your scriptures this morning, may your word be known to us. May we, Lord, submit ourselves to be obedient to your work, your will, your words. And Lord, may we be truly transformed, nearer and nearer to the likeness of Jesus. And then, Lord, later this morning when we receive that blessed sacrament, may you be known to us in the breaking of the bread. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, friends, as most of you know, this past Sunday, I baptized a young man at the Charleston County Juvenile Detention Center. And for those of you who are visiting and have no idea what I'm talking about, well, that happened. I baptized a young man at the Charleston County Jail, the youth jail. Now, I will say that I take absolutely no credit whatsoever in discipling that young man, or opening the scriptures with him, or walking with him on a weekly basis. Those hours of ministering belong, number one, to the Lord, and also through the words, the wisdom, the love, the care, the discipleship of Walt and Heath and Libby and Chrissy and Claudia and Mimi. They have all been very instrumental. They very much walk on a very regular basis with those students, those youth that are in the juvenile detention center. I didn't approve this with you beforehand, but would you six please stand up? And I'm going somewhere with this. Okay, so Walt, Heath, Libby, Chrissy, Claudia, Mimi, stay standing up for just a moment. So these are the ones who go into the jail on a regular basis. I go two or three times a year. They are there on a regular basis. So keep standing. Now I would like to ask the rest of the congregation, if you have ever written a card to any of the youth in the detention center, please stand up. If you have ever purchased socks or toiletries or candy or any of the other lists of supplies, please stand up. And one more question. If you have ever prayed for any of those in the Charleston County Juvenile Detention Center, please stand up. Take a look. Take a look. This, brothers and sisters, this ministry that takes place in the jail, although only a few actually go into the walls and go behind the gates, look around at the participation that is this ministry. It is indeed a parish-wide ministry, and it is a blessing, and the Holy Spirit is at work. You can be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you the little story that took place before the baptism last Sunday afternoon. So I had all of my things for the baptism in Resurrection Hall, and after church, I went home and rested for a little bit, and then stopped back by Resurrection Hall in my office to pick those things up before heading over to North Charleston. And I got everything, I got it loaded up, and I sat forever trying to turn left onto Maybank Highway on a Sunday afternoon. But yeah, that's the way traffic is these days, isn't it? So I took forever waiting to turn left out of Maybank Highway, and I got to the intersection of Main, Maybank, Bohicket, right there at Sunrise Bistro, and realized I forgot something. Oh, man. All right, so I internally debated, Can I go without it? Do I really need it? It's going to take a few extra minutes to go back and get everything, and then I'm going to have to, now I'm going to be close to being late. All right, I'm going to turn around and go get it. So I turned around, went back to my office, got the things that I needed, waited to turn left again, and was on my way. Made my way over to Main Road, and I'm on the way to North Charleston. And I get a couple of miles down Main Road, and I noticed that there was something flying in between the trees right over Main Road. It was clearly a bird, but it was right over the road, and it was low to the ground. And I thought that was a bit odd, a little bit bizarre, that this bird is flying, you know, that low and right over the road. And it certainly grabbed my attention. And I got a little bit closer to it, and I could see that it was white. And I thought, well, maybe, is that a seagull? No, that's not a seagull. It's too small. And, you know, seagulls have black and gray on them. This thing was all white. It's smaller than a seagull, and it's all white. And I get even closer to it, and I finally realize what it was. It was a white dove, an all-white dove, flying just over the tops of the cars on Main Road, right in front of me, going down the road. Y'all, I have seen thousands of doves, as you all have. There are doves in my yard every single day. In my trees, I've seen thousands of doves. Never in my life have I seen an all-white dove in the wild. The only time I've ever seen this. Immediately, when I realized that this was a dove, my mind goes straight to Scripture. My mind goes straight to when Jesus was baptized, when the dove descended upon him in that great and amazing act of the Holy Spirit, as the Gospel of Mark tells us, when Jesus came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." These thoughts then were not lost on me at all as I was headed to the place where I was headed, to a baptism of a young man who has done things he shouldn't have done. This white dove was leading the way. And strangely also, this dove flew in front of me for probably between half a mile and a mile before I finally passed it up. And I could watch it in my rearview mirror then, flying behind, still on Main Road for quite some time. That day, I hadn't really planned on what I was going to say to the young man being baptized. I was going to try to let the Holy Spirit work, you know? And he did. And clearly, the Holy Spirit worked in this. This white dove flying down the road, leading the way, was the perfect illustration for the Lord's will, the Lord's work, the power that was now being given to this young man in his baptism. The Lord, friends, showed up in a very miraculous way, leading, guiding, directing, influencing all the way. The Lord knew what he was doing when he made me turn around and go back to the office, didn't he? So I told this story to the young man. His family was there. The guards, the staff of the detention center are folks from St. John's Parish Church. And then during the baptism itself, this is a little bit more to the story. During the baptism itself, I was asking the young man about You know, all of the exhortation questions, the ones that begin with, do you renounce Satan, his works? Do you renounce evil? Do you renounce sin in your life? And they have the standard responses. And then the continuing questions that say, do you accept Jesus Christ as Savior? Do you believe in the Bible? Will you walk in the ways of the Lord? You know, I was asking him these questions. And let me tell you, his eyes were so intently locked on mine the entire time. He didn't waver. Those eyes were locked on mine. And I can honestly say to you that I have only had something like that happen a couple of maybe a few times in my life when someone else's eyes were so intently locked in. And then when he replied with the answers to the questions, you know, the three times we reply with, I renounce them, and then the, I do, I will, the Lord being my helper. He never looked down. He never broke that strong eye contact. Friends, a transformation happened. Now, a transformation happened. Though we know full transformation, full sanctification, the act of becoming holy is a lifelong process. So please continue to pray for this young man as he is beginning this life in Christ. Great intention, great seeds, great events taking place in the life of a young man, and in the life of, quite honestly, everyone who was there to witness as well. When his eyes were so locked in on mine, I could see and know without a doubt that the Lord was looking down upon that young man. The Lord saw him. The Lord saw him, not his mistakes, not his behaviors, not his bad actions, not his regrets, not his sins. The Lord saw him. And the Lord washed him clean of all of those in the waters of baptism. Friends, last Sunday afternoon, the Lord saw that young man as his own beloved son. A son adopted by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And it was truly a day that I will never forget. My hope today, my hope every day is that each and every one of us can see ourselves the way that the Lord saw that young man last Sunday afternoon. And my hope is that each and every one of us can see ourselves in the way that Isaiah describes in what we heard this morning in chapter 43. In Isaiah 43, the Lord gives that great prophet these words of blessing and hope to the people of Israel who were in exile. Now, this part of Isaiah actually takes place some 150 years after Isaiah's death. During the time that Israel was in exile in Babylon, the Babylonian exile. They're in exile because of their continued unfaithfulness to the Lord, their continued idolatry, continued sin. And this exile took place and happened and was a time in the lives of the people that was fairly hopeless and was very lost as well. But not all is ever truly lost when we have the Lord God. So Isaiah reminds them, Isaiah gives them, through this inspiration of the Lord, gives them hope, is what it is. He reminds them and gives them hope that it is the Lord who has made them, formed them, created them, and that fear is nothing at all when redemption comes through God. Now, we know redemption, of course, came through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross some 550 years after the Babylonian exile. When Jesus freely offered himself in obedient sacrifice to take the place of and pay the debt for the sins of Israel, the sins of Judah, the sins of you, the sins of me, the sins of all humanity. And he did this because God loves you. It's as simple as that. He did this because he loves you. God loves you, each and every one of us, in such a way that he would offer to die so that we may live. And Isaiah reminds us that we are precious in God's eyes. Every one of us are loved and are precious in his sight. And whether we believe it or not, God thinks that we are worth his sacrifice. So the people of Israel, they lived in pretty constant, pretty consistent sin, disobedience, and a lot of idolatry throughout their history. That's not unlike us today. It really is not. We want to love God with all of our hearts, with all of our minds. We want to love each other with a perfect obedience and grace, but we can't, and quite honestly, we don't. We want to do these things, but there are parts of our lives where sin still has such a stranglehold on us that our lives can be still corrupted, and that idolatry actually creeps in, sometimes slowly and sometimes rather quietly. Like when we elevate our bank accounts or pocketbooks or investments or retirement plans to places that are of unnecessary comfort, even salvation, protection. Or when we maybe submit ourselves to the power and influence of other created beings, other people who blind and corrupt our hearts and our eyes and our ears to the suffering of others around us. The Lord warns a lot about that, doesn't he? Or maybe when we decide to hope in ourselves and to live into the truth of whatever our minds create rather than the truth of the sacrificial love that Scripture teaches. Well, friends, despite all of our sins, despite our disobedience, the Lord sees through us, just as he saw through that young man last Sunday. He sees past our sins. He sees past our disobedience. He sees through our idolatrous ways. And he sees the real me. He sees the real you. He sees the real me who was created to worship God first and foremost. He sees the real me who was created to be loved by the Creator. He sees the me who was made then to show forth that sacrificial love to others. He sees the real me that was created for God's glory. And then Isaiah says, and we now contend together, bring out the people who are blind yet have eyes, the deaf yet have ears. Friends, we all have blind spots. We all have blind spots, and we all have times of being deaf, though we all have eyes and we all have ears, don't we? The Father loves us in an unending love, and He desires us to be repentant, to ask for forgiveness for the many ways that we sin and stray and worship idolatrous things. He desires us to be obedient to His word and to His will. He desires for us to see Him, for He truly is. And then He desires for us to see ourselves and to see our neighbors the way that He sees us. And go back now to that quote that I began with from Thomas Merton, that great monk and contemplative thinker. And I want to sort of complete it in its fullness. Remind you what I said. Every moment and every event of every man's life on earth plants something in his soul. I know something was planted in the soul of that young man last Sunday. I know something was planted in all of those who were in attendance as well, the guards and the staff and the people from St. John's Parish Church and his family. Something was planted in that time. So we take every moment, good, bad, or indifferent. We take every moment and we use it to glorify the Lord in all that we do, all that we say, and how we see ourselves, how we see others, because seeds of hope are always being planted and always growing and always blossoming into renewal and hope. Well, Merton continues. He further writes, "For just as the wind carries thousands of winged seeds, so each moment brings with it germs of spiritual vitality that come to rest imperceptibly in the minds and wills of men. Most of these unnumbered seeds perish and are lost because we are not prepared to receive them. For such seeds as these cannot spring up anywhere except in the soil of freedom, spontaneity, and love." Friends, the opportunities are there. We have opportunities to see the Lord, to see His work, to see His will. We have opportunities to notice that rare white dove flying down the road in front of us, preparing our hearts and our minds with the glory and grace of the Holy Spirit. We have opportunities to plant seeds. We have opportunities to pluck grain. We have the constant and abiding presence of God who changes us from sinners and idolaters into His beloved adopted sons and daughters for a purpose. For a purpose to love God and to love others as God loves them in sacrifice and in selflessness. This is what He did for me on the cross. This is what He did for you on the cross. This is what He did for that young man in the juvenile detention center on the cross. Because He loves you, and because you are precious in His own eyes. And now we are about to sing, "Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life, and I know that it is finished. His wounds have paid my ransom. Amen.
Deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turned His face away. His wounds, which mar the chosen one, bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me. Boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, but this I know with all my heart, yes, this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.